to the Relentless CEO Podcast. With Adam Kiefer. Follow your path to success alongside icons and industry leaders in martial arts, fitness, and more. Let's go. This is the Relentless CEO Podcast.
Hey everyone, it is official. The Relentless CEO Podcast is back in action. Took a couple week hiatus, but we are so excited to be back in studio, bringing you guys more content and advice on what's working and not working in the martial arts and fitness industries. We are jumping in today to the Century Martial Arts Group, and we are going to answer a bunch of questions asked in there and also cover some of the really bad advice that has been commented in some of these questions as well, and really just help to steer everyone in the right direction for a lot of these different questions that different martial arts school owners have in this group, so that we can help really push the industry in the right direction and all of us can grow together. And I'm going to answer these as far as just what we do and what we see working with the hundreds of clients that we work with. So let's jump into the first one. This one is a softball in my opinion. What time is your earliest teen adult class? For us, they generally start at 7:30 consistently throughout the week. That just works for us. They're super full classes as well. For you guys, if you're starting a teen adult program and you don't have one currently, I would just survey a lot of the parents at your school and be like, hey, if we were to offer a teen adult class, what times would work best for you? And then give them a couple different options. But also, if you already have a program, talk to your existing members in that program and be like, hey, are you guys good with this time? Is there, if you had a magic wand and could change the schedule, what day and time would you choose? And just get that feedback, and then you can make a educated decision based on the data that you've collected. All right, moving on. That one was easy. I'm looking to host a May the 4th Battle Saber event, so like a lightsaber type of event. Where do you guys get your battle sabers from? So I have to give a special shout out to the guys at actionkits.com, Mike Singer, Chris Cusinelli. They have a whole bunch of different lightsaber and Star Wars themed parent sign out kits that you guys can get. So if you want to do the May the 4th event, like, it's done for you. Go to their website. We get it at flashyblinkylights.com is where we get our lightsabers. They're under $5. The kids love them. They have a blast. And it's a very affordable site where you can get bulk pricing on some pretty cheap lightsabers. All right, next. I like this one. Greetings. Does anyone have a natural or less harmful solution for dojo smells? We currently use scent air, which completely solved the smell, but it also seems to be extreme. Okay. So we use a couple different products and have tested a couple different products. The one that we like right now that we're using in our martial arts school is called Pura. And they're these little circular units that you plug right into the wall. But like when you walk in the door, it's like the Move martial arts scent. Okay. It doesn't smell like sweat and grossness. For our office, we use a different company that I can't remember, but why does it matter? Use Pura, test out a few and order them. We like Pura also because you can control it from your phone. So it links to Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, and you can control how intense the smell is. You can control like the frequency. If you only want the scent to come out from the hours that you're open or right before you're open, you can do it that way as well. So again, that's Pura that we use. But I know there's a lot of different good ones out there that you guys can use. And I just got to give a shout out to this person asking this question, because so many martial arts schools don't think about the scent. They don't think about the experience that they're providing for their members and for their parents. So the fact that this person is thinking about, hey, how do we make this a great environment for everyone that walks in the door so they want to be here and it doesn't smell like gross sweat and feet and all that stuff. Kudos to them, because most school owners or fitness owners aren't necessarily thinking about that. All right, next question. Who here charges for a trial lesson and then rolls the amount into the monthly fee if they enroll, or lose it if no show or doesn't enroll after the trial lesson? So they're pretty much saying who charges for a paid trial, so for a new member, and then allows them to roll it into their monthly fee when they enroll, or just completely lose it if they don't show or don't enroll. Then there's more. Since beginning of March, I've had 8 no-shows for free trial lessons. Parents go through the process of completing the paperwork online and then don't show when I follow up. They either say child is not interested anymore, they're too busy to commit, too expensive, I forgot, never mind, some excuse. Does a trial fee make them come in because they paid for it? Okay. This is a pretty common question that we've seen in a lot of martial art groups. And I have nothing against paid trial or free trial. I think there's uses for both. Obviously, with the free trial, show up rate is always going to be an issue. Hard to get people in the door when they don't have any buy-in. Now, there's a lot of things that you can do to help increase show up rate if you are doing a free trial. Like a couple of things that we do, we have a video that goes out to them that is me just hyping up our staff and our instructors. We call it a sales booster video. This goes out as part of the confirmation process to really position our instructors as experts and authorities in what they do and how they communicate with kids, how they motivate kids, and how they inspire kids at Move Martial Arts. So we have that as part of it. I also think it's good if you can send out a tour video where you're just showing them through the school, have some footage of actual classes in there, because the whole goal from the time that they book to the time that they come into your studio is to remove as many of the unknowns as possible. And then the secondary goal is to get a verbal confirmation that they're going to show up. So if we just focus on the removing the unknown part to start with, what are the unknowns? Well, is their child going to be safe? Are they going to like it? Are they going to have fun? Is the place going to be clean? Is the staff professional? Are they first aid and CPR certified? Like all of these thoughts that go through a mom's head when they're putting them into a physical activity. So how do you squash as many of those unknowns as possible before they show up for their first class? And we do that as a combination with the tour video and also the sales booster video. The second part I said is to get a verbal confirmation that they're actually still coming in for the class. Now, you can outright ask and be like, hey, just want to double check, are you still coming in today? I think that's a little cheesy. I always like giving a free item with their trial, even if it's free, we'll do a free t-shirt. So then the confirmation text that goes through says, hey, we're so excited to see you guys come in for Johnny's first class. We're getting everything ready right now. Can you let me know what size t-shirt he wears so I can make sure we have that ready for him? And then the parent responds with the t-shirt size, which is their verbal confirmation that they're coming in. Also, if they know that you've already prepared something for them and you're getting things ready for them, they're less likely to back out because they don't want to make you feel bad. They don't want to feel guilty. Another thing that you can do is we do this welcome tray that we give the kid when they come in. It's got a book. It's got their free shirt on there. It's got a bottle of Fiji water. It's got a like name plaque on there as well that says like, welcome, Johnny. You could actually get that all together, take a picture of it, and send it to the parent the day of the first lesson and be like, we got everything ready for Johnny. We're so excited to see him. We'll see you guys in a few hours. And that's a good way because it's showing like, hey, we did all this prep for you and for your kid, and we're expecting you. They're going to be less likely to back out, and if they do, at least they are more likely to let you know in that scenario. But going to the general question of this post is, does a trial fee make them come? Yes, essentially. Okay, show up rates for paid trials are like 98%, 97%. Show up rate for free trials for kids across the industry is probably like 75%. And then for adults, it significantly drops down to closer to 50%. So just some general things to think about there. Again, I've seen people be successful with both, so I'm not going to crap on either one of those. Next question. What has been your best retention tool or strategy besides teaching awesome classes? And is there something that you added or changed that made a big difference in keeping your students? So I think this comes down really to a philosophy, and then there's also strategies that can be incorporated in this philosophy. But I think the philosophy is you have to be a service-based business. Like, your customers vote whether they like classes with their dollars, which means if they're canceling, they're telling you essentially that they don't like the experience, they don't like the classes, they don't like the service. So with that being said, my question for you is, how are you training your team to go above and beyond with service? How are you training them to actually interact with your athletes, with your parents, and have conversations and build rapport? All of that needs to be trained, and service needs to be like one of the biggest focuses of your martial arts school, is just provide exceptional service. Get back to people in a timely manner. Be respectful when you talk to them. Always know that like, they are the ones that you need to take care of. And it all starts at the top. So if you are the owner of your business, if you're taking good care of your team and showing them good service, following through with your word and all of that, guess what's going to happen? They're going to do that same behavior to your parents and to your athletes and to your customers. So it has to start with you at the top. Your manager has to embody it as well, if you have a manager running your school. And then it trickles down to the rest of the team from there. As far as just different strategies, I'll tell you, we do like these quarterly courtesy calls that we also call them red, green, yellow calls, where we break up our entire student base between all of our coaches. And for a week, we sit there and we call every single student and check in with them. Okay. And we give them feedback on their child. Normally when we do this, we usually also get reviews afterwards from parents being like, this is the only place I've ever taken my kid that actually calls to give us progress reports and to give us progress checks. And then I also think member outreach is super important. I think part of retention is thinking, how do we get them to think about our martial arts school when they're not there? How do we get them to constantly think about us when they're at home or when they're with their friends? So part of that is making sure you have member outreach. You're consistently doing your awesome cards. You're consistently sending out. We do bomb videos, which are like personalized videos. You're doing all of that consistently and actually getting it across to a majority of the members every single quarter. Not just picking and choosing or doing it randomly. Because when you do it randomly, what happens is all the A students get all of the love from your instructors. And then all the B and C students, the ones that need the most motivation, don't get anything. And it's radio silence and it's crickets and they don't have a reason to stay. I think that the more that you can do to make a special experience for each individual person that walks in your school, every time they walk in your school, the easier it is to keep them. And I think there's a lot of ways you can do that, but it's actually knowing your students, knowing the parents, knowing where the parents work, knowing a lot of things about their life just besides martial arts makes it way easier to connect with them. Also, the last thing I'll sort of touch on with this is keeping track of your attrition is super important. Okay, so attrition is the percentage of student body that you've lost each month. Reason for this is if you look through the last 12 months of your attrition, anything that's higher than a 5% attrition for a month, I would be looking at the month before installing some sort of attendance contest or engagement contest with your students that will increase the buy-in and make them want to come to class and want to participate with things at home more during that period. So that way you're less likely to have a harsh drop off. So traditionally that's like going into summer, coming out of summer, going into back to school, holiday season, all good times to do those different initiatives. And if you're in martial arts systems or a mastermind, all of those initiatives are done for you. Like it's super simple. Looking for a credit card processing company that will handle monthly billing without any other services, i.e. consulting, advertising, etc. Stripe is probably the easiest one to set up in my opinion. You don't need to use any other service. It just does billing. It pretty much integrates with everything. So if you're looking just for a credit card processing, that's what I would recommend. This one, I like this question. It's simple. Less is more. Agree or disagree? Agree all damn day. Less is more. The more simple you can run your business, the easier it is to scale. Okay, Alex Hormozi always says like, simple is scalable, fancy fails, or simple scales, fancy fails. And I agree. You don't need to get over the top fancy. You don't need all this curriculum. You don't need 25 different styles being taught at your school. You don't need 15 different programs. Just simplify. Make what you do great. And it's easier to do it when you only need to focus on one or two things. When you have seven different things to focus on, your focus and your energy gets split between all of those different things, which means none of those programs are going to be at their best because you're splitting all of your attention and energy across all of them. Imagine if you just had all your attention and energy focusing on one program, make that a killer program. And then if you want to create an upgrade program, go for it. But in my opinion, you don't need a whole lot past that. We have our core training program. We have our upgrade program. And then we have instructor training. So we have three different things. And instructor training helps our staff development. Our upgrade program helps lead to future instructors and keeps people longer term. So just keep it simple, right? KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. All right. This one, pricing. We're thinking about changing our pricing plans for our school. We currently offer classes 5 days a week. Students may attend as many days as they wish. We also have upgrade programs such as color, rank, leadership, black belt leadership, forms and sparring clinics. We're in a town of 24,000 people with a median income of 55,000. Please let me know your thoughts. So they're asking for pricing plans. One thing I always love with pricing is in this or that option. So I've seen like too many options, where it's like five different options, that just creates confusion on the side of the consumer. I've seen the one option, which creates a yes or no response from the consumer. I always like the two option or the three option max. We are now at a two option thing for Move, where they can do a 3-time-per-week membership or an unlimited membership. There's a different price difference between the two, and they get a deal for enrolling that day. And that's what we're focusing on. But it's simple, because now it's, instead of yes or no, it's, is this program a better fit or is this program a better fit? Not even better fit. When we pitch it, it's, which program do you think is the best for the success of your child? Not which one do you think is a better fit? If you ask me as a parent, and you're giving me two pricing options, and you're like, which one do you like better? I like the cheaper one better, right? But if you're like, which one is better for the success of your child? Option A, the 3 times a week, or the unlimited training? Then I'm thinking about, well, you know what? If he's here more, he's going to be better. He's going to get these skills more. So now I'm leading more towards which one do I pick instead of just a yes or no. Pricing-wise, though, if you're thinking $55,000 median income, okay, so typically what we do is when we're looking to open a school, we look at a $70,000 minimum median income, okay? And then for that location, we usually will start trying to get pricing at $179,000 right out of the gate. So if you're at $55,000, I would probably do it in tiers to test it. Like, here's what I mean. Maybe you're going to start at $159,000 or $169,000, and you do that for the first 25 people or the first 50 people. Then after you get to that point, now increase the prices for new people. So maybe you're going to go up to $179 or $189 at that point. Do that for the next 25 or 50 people. See how people are responding to the price change. And if it's a good closing percentage, people fight the price once in a while, but generally not, like you're probably at a pretty good price point. And you may even be able to raise it again in the future. If you're doing it and everyone's signing up, like 100% of the people are signing up, it's too low. Like way too low. That's an issue. If you have 100% closing rate, like ideally on paper, that's a good thing, but it also probably means you're not charging enough or you're not charging what you're worth for those. Also, there's a lot of studies show that people place more value on a higher price program. Okay. There's a video that went viral of, I believe it was two different champagnes. And like this one is a $12 bottle of champagne. This one is a $500 bottle of champagne. We want you to drink both and tell us which one is better. And every single person picked the more expensive bottle of champagne. And then at the end, it was revealed that they were both the exact same bottles of champagne. So people just valued one more because the price was more. So they attached a higher value to it. So just be careful of going too low. Also, it kills profitability, but going too low can sometimes be a disservice to you because people look at it and they're like, why is this so low? Is it because the program's bad? Is it because of whatever? So just something to keep in mind when you're looking at pricing. Okay, next question. Could transitioning to sports-focused strategies be the missing link for our industry's expansion and parallel development alongside other industries? So obviously, if you guys have been following this podcast, you've heard me talk about this a lot. You heard Jotty talk about this a lot. Talked about with Chatri about this exact same thing when he was on as well. One of my biggest problems with our industry right now is the lack of fulfillment on promises, meaning we are promising that these kids are going to become athletic, that they're going to become more confident, more disciplined, all of these things. But in a lot of martial arts schools, if you see a day one picture of a kid and a 4 year later picture of the kid doesn't look like any transformation has taken place. Yes, they might be slightly more confident with martial arts, but are they more confident in life? Yes, they might be slightly more disciplined with their martial arts training, but is that discipline carrying over to what they're actually doing on a daily basis, and is it carrying over to school? Because there's one thing about being a black belt on the mat. It's another thing about being a black belt off the mat and how you carry yourself off the mat. So just some things to keep in mind. But I do think on the sports side of it, that's probably where the biggest transformation is missing. Like you see a wiry kid start on day one, 4 or 5 years later, he's still a wiry kid. You see, put that same wiry kid in football and look at him a year later, that kid does not even resemble the same kid physically that he did 6 months prior from doing football. To me, wrestling's the same way, right? That's a problem because we're telling these people that we're going to help them be athletes. And the problem is a majority of martial art classes that I watch, don't challenge the students enough, have way too much downtime, or don't even get the kids sweating. Like, how can you create physical transformation if no one ever sweats? Just asking. Just something to think about. But I do think athlete development is missing from our industry. I am encouraged by the people I see pushing and really trying to push for change in the industry to create the athlete development aspect, because I think that is going to be something super powerful. How many times do I hear our teenage students, their parents talking about, like, man, like, it's been crazy. Like, he used to be this wiry kid, and now he's actually got, like, definition. Like, that's what we want. That's what we want to hear. So I do think that is missing from it. And I think if you have that element to your program, it just makes you stand out against other martial arts schools. Because, like, let's be honest. We have a lot of martial arts, not a lot of martial arts athletes. We have a lot of martial artists. Okay, so I think being a martial arts athlete is sort of like a different level. And the last thing I'll sort of touch on this, because I can talk about this forever. When I go in and train, where I train at the MMA lab, you walk in there and everyone just looks athletic. Everybody looks like an athlete. I've never seen a class where people are not sweating there. Can you say the same thing about your school? Can you say the same thing about your classes? So I think a lot of it too just comes down to lack of repetition. If you're doing line drills every class, that could be a whole other episode. Here's just some stats for you, right? So when we watched all this class footage that you've heard me talk about 1,000 times, I went back, and this was probably a couple months ago, so this was actually fairly recent, and I just wanted to see in line drills how much actual active time the average student had. So in a 5-minute line drill, we found out that the average student max had 50 seconds of active time, which means they had 4 minutes and 10 seconds of nothing, standing and waiting, 50 seconds of active time. I've literally seen martial art classes where the entire class is line drills. So if we take that same principle, and if we think that, let's just say if it was 5 minutes, that'd be 20% of the time was spent being active. Take that to an hour class, 20% of that time, 15 minutes is their active time, about 15 minutes. That's why there's no transformation, right? If you're doing just line drill after line drill, whew. So the goal is, let's be more creative. Let's be more creative with our class plan. Let's be more creative with what we're doing to keep them moving constantly. Next one. This is such a good question. Okay. How the heck do you get rid of the "your Facebook page will be locked" people, or "you have a copyright violation, we are about to ban your Facebook page"? So if this is referring to emails, that one's really hard. You just got to hit spam and then on to the next one. Facebook messages, though, there is a really easy solution for this. All you have to do is set your page so it's not visible by people outside the US. Because most of these bot accounts that are sending all of these messages out are from other countries. So if you just limit the visibility on your page to people in the US, you can fix this problem. And why wouldn't you? No one from the US or no one from outside the US that's looking at your page is going to become a student. So why do you need other people from other countries to see it, right? But that's a really easy way to solve that. Okay, curiosity of the day, how long are your classes? For us, I can just tell you what we're doing. For our Mighty Movers, which is our younger guys, 5 to 7, they do a 30-minute class. For all of our 8 to 12-year-old classes, it's 45 minutes. Teen and adult, we do an hour. The reason we do an hour for teen and adult is it's just we have more levels in this class, training at the same time. Still rotating curriculum, just more levels. So we want to make sure that we have plenty of time to get through all of the reps. Okay. I'm going to do my best to translate this one. All right. How does everyone feel about a 10-year student who is an assistant instructor asking about taking classes at a different martial arts school, totally different art in town, while continuing at our school? Pros and cons of our instructors doing this. Thank you for your thoughts and experience. The comments on this one, holy crap, guys. People are like, kick that student out. Fire that student. Get rid of him. Tell him he's got to quit the other place or he's got to quit your place. what year are we living in right now? What year? All right. I have a couple of opinions on this. I would guess that a lot of people that commented, like, kick that person out, don't train anymore. And here's the reason I'm saying that. I obviously own a martial arts school. No one at that school trains me, right? So if no one at that school trains me, I have two options. I either don't train or I go somewhere else to find someone to train me. So I train at a different place because Randy is super experienced in striking, has so much knowledge, such good fight IQ, can teach me so much that I can take back and teach my coaches and instill in my students. Every martial arts instructor needs to be constantly training and teaching, first of all. Okay. So for me, if I'm training somewhere else to get better, why do I care if my students go to train somewhere else to get better? Like, we have a few different students that go and do jiu-jitsu classes at the BJJ place down the street, and then they do stand up with us. We have a few students that do training with us and are consistent and coming in all the time, and then they go and do private lessons at like UFC gym or something like that. I have no problem with any of that. Why? Because at the end of the day, my goal for every single kid that walks in our studio is for them to become a better version of themselves. I'm not going to be selfish and be like, no, you have to only become a better version of yourself here in our martial arts school. What sense does that make? If the end goal is to help our students become a better version of themselves, why does it matter if they get additional training somewhere else? Like, a lot of the stuff that they're going to learn training at a BJJ place is probably going to transfer over to their work ethic training with you. Okay. Encourage it. Like, even when I was training at a martial arts school that my parents owned, or a martial arts school that my brother owned back in the day, I was still doing private lessons at other martial arts schools because I was competing at the time and I wanted that competitive edge and I wanted to keep getting better. And here's a cool thing. You know how many conditioning drills and different drills that I learned from doing private lessons at another place that I was able to bring back and incorporate in classes that I was teaching to make the classes even better than they were previously? Man, let them go train. Let them go train. I think you should encourage it. I think you should praise it. I think you should be all for it. I've had situations where I've actually paid for some of my instructors to go get training somewhere else or to go get private lessons with someone that was really good in the area. Like, I don't understand the hate on that one. I think that's an ego thing. If you're like, screw it, they kick him out. No, it's so dumb. All right, rant over. Curiosity of the day. For school owners who use a rotating curriculum, to use it for black belt ranks too? Yes. We have a rotating curriculum for our black belt ranks. We do these progress checks. So every 3 months they go for a progress check, which gets a gold bar on the back of their black belt. And they do that for 2 years before they're eligible to go into our black belt bootcamp class to get ready for the next degree of black belt. But yeah, we still do rotating. Like, keep it simple. This question cracks me up. All right, quick question. I have a black belt promotion test coming up this weekend. One of my students asked a question. I have no clue what the answer is. Gets better, guys. They want to do an ice break for their board break. I've heard you use a cake pan and a deep freezer. Someone said use plastic wrap on the bottom of the pan to help it not stick. Easier to remove. Any other ideas? You would think the water would get behind the plastic wrap and be frozen in the block. Help a brother out, please. Okay. There's so many angles to this question. First of all, if this guy goes forward with this, does this sound remotely safe? Like, he's asking a martial arts Facebook group on the best way to do an ice break for a student. Okay, that's not even the biggest problem I have with this question. My biggest problem is, why are you letting your students dictate what they're testing on for their black belt? Anyone? Like, shouldn't there be a set, like, level of standards that is created by the owner that everyone has to follow? Like, I don't know if I'm crazy just saying that, but I was like, if a student came up to me and was like, can I break ice for my black belt test? I was like, dude, you stop watching Karate Kid 2 too much. Like, there's a 1 in a 3 also that you can go and watch. Yeah, I just don't think you should allow students to dictate what they test on. Like, wild, wild west. All right. This is a good question. How do you turn away a bad prospective student after they take a free trial? I had a conversation with this person after the trial class. He confirmed what I suspected. He has substance abuse and behavioral issues. I teach challenged individuals, but this person presents a safety issue for my students. I agree. Suggestions. Okay. So this, I think, is just overthinking a hard conversation, in my opinion. In these situations, I think transparency is the best. So the way I would handle this is I would obviously meet with them privately. Okay. Don't do it in front of anyone and just say, hey, number one, I just want to thank you for coming to our school and trying us out and checking us out. This trial process that we use is great for both sides because it gives you the opportunity to determine if you feel like we're a good fit for you. And at the same time, it gives us the same opportunity to determine if every student that walks in is a good fit for us. And in this case, I just want to be transparent with you. I don't feel like this is going to be a good culture fit together. And I would never want you to be paying money to us and it feel like a waste of your money. And I know that the times that we've let people train that I had a gut feeling that wasn't a good culture fit, every single time I regretted it. And I really don't want that to happen with us because I respect you. So I'm going to go ahead, if it was a paid trial, I'm going to go ahead and refund your trial money. I'm going to wish you the best. If you want me to recommend some other schools in the area, I'd be happy to do that. I just don't think we're going to be a good fit for each other. That's it. It's simple. Okay, just be transparent with it. All right, next. This is a good one. All right. Okay. I got two on here I want to touch on. Let's talk federations here for a minute. I used to work for a national franchise. That school was closed and the remnants sold to my coworker. We now have a bunch of kids who are closing in on black belt. I'm very familiar with sporting bodies like IKF, ISCA. I'm not so familiar with martial arts federations past that. I've been trying for a week to contact, I won't even say the organization, with little success. I'm looking specifically for rank registration, but I'm open to any kind of sales pitch, LOL, kickboxing-based school. Okay, rewind here for a second. I can say this 100% honestly. I've never had a student or parent come up to me and ask, hey, what governing body certifies a black belt? What governing body certifies the belts that we get? I've never been asked that question in the history of me working at a martial arts school, owning a martial arts school, none of the above. I think a lot of organizations, federations, whatever, don't deliver enough value for you to even join to be giving them any money. That's just my opinion. Are there outliers? There are absolutely outliers of organizations that provide tons of value. But a majority of them are stuck in the 1970s and just sit there and collect percentages of your testing fees or whatever fees, monthly, yearly, et cetera. And they don't actually do anything except sign a certificate or put their stamp on a certificate. I don't think you need a federation to certify your rank. Okay. If you've been training in martial arts long enough, you have legitimate rank in martial arts. Why do you need a governing body to certify the people that you're testing? I don't think it's needed. I think it's good like to bring outside martial arts school owners or black belts in to help grade your black belt test because it just gives different perspective. I'm all for that. But I don't think you need to be part of an organization or a federation to promote people to rank. And I know that might rub some people the wrong way, but I don't care. All right. Hey, everyone. Does anyone know how to switch which Apple ID number you're logged into on your iPad? I have an iPad logged into a personal Apple ID for the school. Okay. Do not have any personal anything logged into anything in your martial arts school. Okay. You should have separate business accounts for everything. There should be a separate Apple business account that runs all of your stuff. Yes, I understand. You might have personal subscriptions that could also work for the school. It's not worth it. Okay. You guys got to think, as you start scaling and building out your team, when too many people have access to your personal passwords, logins, all that stuff, it becomes a giant mess, okay? So what I recommend doing is have a separate Apple ID account just for your business, have a separate everything account just for your business to keep business and personal completely separate. It's just easier. Also, down the line, you sell the business, it's way easier because all you have to give is the logins for all those accounts. You don't need to separate your personal things from the business things. and I can speak on this based on experience. I've never shared my personal Apple ID with anyone. Okay. But for password protection, never give out your password to anybody. Okay. And I've made this mistake. So I'm telling you guys from experience. Okay. When you give out your password to people, whenever you let someone go, you have to go back then and change all your passwords, which is a pain in the butt. So I would encourage everyone to use a password management tool. Okay. There's the one we use is called Dashlane. There's a ton of them. There's a ton of different like password vaults and stuff like that. But essentially what it does is you store all your passwords there. You add every employee on as a user to Dashlane. And then what you do is you assign them logins that they get access to. So the nice thing about it is they never actually know your passwords. It autofills when they go to that website and it logs them in, which means when you have to let someone go or when someone quits, all you need to do now is just remove them as a user. And now they've lost access to everything. So just a more secure way to do it. And just to cover your butt, I would highly recommend every single business owner listening to this, go do that. All right, guys. Hope you got some good insight from some of the questions that we responded to from the Century Martial Arts group today. If you guys have any questions that you just are wanting some insight or advice on, feel free to shoot them my way. You can DM me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all the places. But we are excited to be back. We got a lot of great episodes, a lot of great guests coming up as well. And in the meantime, remember to share this episode if you got value from it. Like and subscribe for more, and we'll see you next time. We're unstoppable. To the top, we about to go. That CEO, I need to know the impact. We about to grow. Competition comical. Straight A1, we on the road. Money focused for the goal. Tell them what they need to know. We're unstoppable.